It has been 50 years since President Lyndon Johnson signed what many consider the most effective piece of civil rights legislation in U.S. history, the Voting Rights Act. For 95 years, the right to vote had been enshrined in law by the 15th Amendment, but in practice, there were still many restrictions that kept African Americans from voting, such as literacy tests and poll taxes. The new law gave the federal government sweeping new powers to end those practices.
Today is a triumph for freedom, as huge as any victory that's ever been won on any battlefield.
While the final bill sailed through Congress with bipartisan support, its passage had been far from a sure thing. President Johnson had to overcome fierce resistance from powerful Southern lawmakers, but he had civil rights leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King on his side. Today, we want to share some remarkable and largely unheard audio from the LBJ Presidential Library that opens a window on this history. We start with Hubert Humphrey, President Johnson's vice president. In the 1950s, the two men served together in the Senate.
Johnson used to tell me just simply this. He'd say, "Let me tell you something, Hubert. All this civil rights talk," he said, "the thing that we got to do is get those blacks the right to vote. Now, you fellows are trying to get them public accommodations. You want them to ride in a bus. But what they need is the vote." He said, "That's what I'm going to get them. When they get the vote power, they got the power."
If Johnson was committed to voting rights early on, he was also a clear-eyed pragmatist. This is the voice of Harry McPherson, one of Johnson's leading speechwriters. Paul Douglas, whom McPherson mentions, was one of the Senate's leading liberals. And Sam Ervin of Watergate fame was a hardcore Southern conservative.
I heard him at one end of the cloakroom talking to Paul Douglas one day, saying, "Paul, the amendment to the Civil Rights Bill is coming up, and I need your support to get such and such done." And he went to the other end of the room and was talking to Sam Ervin and said, "Sam, why don't you all let this bill pass?" That language is not the language that he would ever employ later on. I've never heard him use the word. But at that time, he was down in the trenches with guys who were determined not to let a bill pass. And he was doing his damnedest by every conceivable device to bring him around.
Johnson's knack for finding common ground also served him well with minorities. As a white Southerner himself, he had to win them over. Lewis Martin was an African-American newspaper man who went to work for LBJ in the White House.
One day in the car there, LBJ saw me and grabbed me by the lapel. And they says, "I know you've been around here arguing about my speeches. Now what the hell do you want, rhetoric or action? I'm giving you action." I said, "I want the action." But he was very forceful about it. And I had no quarrel with the action.
Patricia Roberts Harris was a civil rights activist, diplomat, and the first black woman to hold a cabinet post under President Jimmy Carter. She seconded LBJ's nomination for president at the 1964 Democratic Convention.
He had none of the condescending attitude toward the need to solve the race problem that one so often finds in other people. Very much like the very best of the Southerners one knows, who, once they admit the horror of the treatment of Negroes, understand it because they have seen it at its worst, and he had this quality.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 followed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which was a major step forward, but short on enforcement powers because of the compromises required to get it through the Senate. So LBJ had to thread the needle between an impatient civil rights movement and the resistant Southern-dominated Senate once again. Here's the president on the phone with Martin Luther King. You'll only hear Johnson's voice here. Dr. King is largely inaudible.
"I think it's very important that we take the position that every person born in this country, when he reaches a certain age, that he have a right to vote. Whether it's a Negro, whether it's a Mexican, who it is. We don't want special privilege for anybody. We want equality for all, and we can stand on that principle. But I think you can contribute a great deal by getting your leaders and you yourself taking very simple examples of discrimination. And if we can just repeat and repeat and repeat, I don't want to follow Hitler, but he had an idea that if you just take a simple thing and repeat it often enough, even if it wasn't true, why, people accept it. Well, now this is true, and if you can find the worst condition that you run into in Alabama, Mississippi, or Louisiana, or South Carolina, well, I think one of the worst I ever heard of is the president of Tuskegee or the head of the government department there being denied the right to cast a vote. If you just take that one illustration and get it on radio and get it on television, get it every place you can. Pretty soon, the fellow that didn't do anything but drive a tractor, he'll say, well, that's not right, that's not fair. And that will help us on what we're going to shove through in the end. And if we do that, it'll be the greatest breakthrough of anything, not even accepting this 64 Act. I think the greatest achievement of my administration was the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. But I think this will be bigger.
And bigger it turned out to be. 2 months later, the Selma Montgomery March would put the civil rights struggle on the nightly news and leave Congress little room to maneuver. That outside pressure, coupled with Johnson's inside relentless lobbying, eventually carried the day. For Johnson, it was a big victory, but also just the beginning. In this audio, recorded just a week after Johnson signed the bill, he's on the phone with Nicholas Katzenbach, his attorney general.
General, today is Tuesday in Mississippi. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, how many people you got to go in Wednesday morning in daylight?
Well, we got 8 others that I'm reviewing there, Mr. President. I don't think we'll go to all 8, but we'll go to some.
Well, I'd go to as many of them as I could in the morning, and I'd go to as many in Georgia as I could just as quick as I can while it's...
In Georgia?
Yeah. I want to get everybody registered every place you can.
They're registering in Georgia pretty
well. Well, all right. That's all right. Your presence don't hurt a damn bit. It helps. For the rest of the world, this is a pretty good thing. I met with all the Latin American ambassadors this morning. I met with the Africans last week. And our image in the world is pretty good with our registration. So I would steal any money I needed to. I'd put on any extra registrars I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really get some folks registered.
They're over 10,000.
Well, 10,000 was a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
We want to have as good a record as we can. We don't want to say, well, they made a big hullabaloo and didn't have but 18,000 that registered. That's just let's go every place where we can, and let's go all the way.
All right.
Fine.
We want to play you one more recording as we remember the signing of the Voting Rights Act, which happened 50 years ago today by President Lyndon Johnson. In this recording, he's back at home in Texas on the phone with his old friend Roy Wilkins, the head of the NAACP.
I'll guarantee you, and I'll resign my office 12 months from now if I'm not right, you'll see the people come into power in every southern state if you let them vote. As sure as I'm sitting here, every one of these states that you consider the worst states in the union will wind up being the best. And you don't have to get your 40% vote. All you got to do is just get about 14 to 20.
That's right.
I don't care who you are, Mexican, Negro, white, Baptist, Catholic, Jew, just vote. Let's just get them registered where they can vote, that's all.
The 1965 Voting Rights Act had an immediate impact. More than 200,000 African Americans registered to vote that year, and the number of blacks elected to office started to rise steadily. President Johnson, who had spent so much time in political capital getting civil rights legislation passed, saw his presidency end because of another issue, the Vietnam War. He decided not to run for re-election in 1968. Thanks to the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas, and to producer Steve Atlas, who helped us assemble this material. You can find out more about it at howitwas.org.